Today's deep dive is the 1st of November 2022. Lauritsen and colleagues' 3 months of melatonin treatment reduces insulin sensitivity in patients with type 2 diabetes, a randomized placebo-controlled crossover trial published in the Journal of Pineal Research in 2022. What we know, think we know, or are starting to know. If I were to play a game of word association and I said melatonin, I bet the house that you would instantly say sleep. And you would be quite correct. The rise in melatonin in the evening is the signal for the body to shift from the daytime phase of waking, activity, and feeding to the nighttime phase of sleeping, rest, and fasting. Although melatonin is primarily known for its role in regulating the sleep-wake cycle, melatonin in fact participates in a range of biological functions by acting through melatonin receptors in different tissues throughout the body. A genetic variant in melatonin receptor 1B, known as MTR1B, is associated with higher fasting glucose, impaired responses to glucose tolerance test, and higher type 2 diabetes risk. It's important to note that there may be endogenous melatonin, i.e. the melatonin produced and secreted in the body, and exogenous melatonin, i.e. melatonin taken in supplement form. Some prior research has found that insulin sensitivity and glucose tolerance were impaired when endogenous melatonin was elevated during the night, while other research has shown that supplemental melatonin may also result in insulin resistance, particularly in individuals with MTR1B genetic variants. However, the effects of both supplemental melatonin and the most common MTR1B genetic variant in individuals with type 2 diabetes is not well researched, and the present study investigated this question. Geekbox, melatonin and the circadian system. In humans and all mammals, the suprachiasmatic nucleus, or SCN, located in the hypothalamus, is the source from which circadian rhythms are generated. Circadian means around the day, and circadian rhythms are rhythms in our biological processes that are generated in the body and can synchronize to the 24-hour day. We require circadian rhythms to synchronize to the light-dark cycle in order to appropriately time when, for example, we have a drive to sleep and drive to wake up, and for when the processes involved in metabolism of food are optimal. Melatonin is produced and secreted from the pineal gland, but the rhythm in melatonin is generated by the SCN. The precise timing of the melatonin rhythm in a 24-hour period is highly sensitive to time cues from light, specifically the absence of short wavelength blue light. Picture the color of the sky. And low color intensities influence the timing of melatonin release. As a result, the melatonin rhythm is maintained at basal, near undetectable levels during the light period of the day before rising and peaking during the biological night or dark phase. However, with modern environments creating artificial light exposure at night, and with humans in industrialized countries spending a majority of the light period in enclosed buildings, these factors can influence the timing and strength of the melatonin rhythm. Melatonin is crucial to the overall regulation of the circadian system and our ability to regulate to the 24-hour day and night cycle. However, the metabolic interactions and effects of melatonin are starting to be better understood and could provide an explanation for the associations between food intake during the night and metabolic disease risk. The study. This was a randomized, double-blind, placebo-controlled crossover, i.e. participants underwent both arms of the study, intervention trial. Participants were required to have a diagnosis of type 2 diabetes and were Danish men aged between 40 to 70 years. The intervention was 10 milligrams of supplemental melatonin per day compared to a placebo, with both consumed before bedtime. Participants were randomized to the order of treatment, i.e. melatonin for 12 weeks before crossing over to the placebo for 12 weeks, or the inverse sequence, i.e. starting on the placebo before crossing over to melatonin. Whichever order participants undertook, both study arms were separated by a 4-week washout period. Participants underwent genotype testing to determine MTNR1B status and to stratify participants according to their melatonin receptor genotype. There were two main genetic variants in the study for which simplicity we will refer to as risk type and normal type. Before and after each arm of the study, participants attended the investigator's research center for metabolic testing, including an intravenous glucose tolerance test, an insulin sensitivity test, and measurements of plasma melatonin. The primary outcomes were changes in insulin sensitivity and insulin secretion, and whether these outcomes differed according to melatonin receptor genotype. Secondary outcomes included glucose uptake, fatty acid metabolism, and energy expenditure. Results. 17 participants completed the study. The average age was 65 years, body weight was 95 kg, and BMI was 29 kilograms per meter squared. Primary outcome, insulin sensitivity. After 12 weeks of melatonin supplementation, insulin sensitivity decreased by 12% compared to the placebo. More on this finding under key characteristic below. However, there was no interaction between risk type or normal type genetic variants and insulin sensitivity. Plasma insulin. Insulin levels from 2 to 3 hours post-intravenous glucose tolerance test were 24% higher after melatonin supplementation compared to the placebo. However, there was no interaction with the melatonin receptor genotypes and insulin levels. Endogenous melatonin levels. Measured melatonin levels were significantly higher after supplementation compared to placebo. However, the increase in melatonin was 3.8 times higher in the risk types compared to the normal types, indicating a significant interaction between melatonin receptor genotype and melatonin supplementation. There was no correlation between plasma endogenous melatonin levels and the increase in insulin resistance. More under interesting finding below. Other measures were not significantly different comparing melatonin supplementation to the placebo. The critical breakdown. Pros. Randomization method was appropriate, computer generated, and the allocation of participants was concealed until the end of the study, thus both investigators and participants were blinded to their allocation. Compliance, which was assessed by counting returned pills for both supplement and placebo, appeared to be quite high, and similar rates of 96 and 99% for melatonin and placebo, respectively. Gold standard assessments of insulin sensitivity were undertaken using advanced measurement methods, more under key characteristic below. Medication usage was not altered during the study, so the outcomes were not influenced by any changes to diabetes drugs or doses. This was the first trial to focus on melatonin supplementation in participants with type 2 diabetes. Cons. The sample size estimated 18 participants would be required and 17 completed the trial. Thus, the trial is likely underpowered to detect more robust statistical differences. The authors, to their credit, do draw attention to this and highlight that the lack of interaction effect of melatonin receptor genotype may be due to type 2 error, aka false negatives. The study population was entirely white Caucasian and male, and thus the findings may not generalize to women and other ethnic groups, given that there may be both sex and ethnic differences in melatonin. The authors refer to pre-specifying analyses, but there is no mention of the trial's registration. Key characteristic. The study measured insulin sensitivity using what is called the hyperinsulinemic euglycemic clamp, or HEC, which is the gold standard method of measuring insulin sensitivity in humans. To put the findings in some context, let's understand what the HEC does. The HEC is a means of assessing whole body metabolism of glucose into peripheral tissues and the sensitivity of tissues to insulin during a steady state of elevated glucose levels. To perform a HEC, both glucose and insulin are infused into the blood, usually through a catheter in the forearm. At the same time, to create conditions of normal plasma glucose ranges, hence euglycemic, but elevated insulin levels, hence hyperinsulinemic. Under these conditions, the rate of glucose infusion matches the rate of glucose uptake by tissues, which itself reflects the sensitivity of those tissues to insulin. This is referred to as the M value for metabolizable glucose, and this is lower in individuals with type 2 diabetes compared to healthy individuals. To properly quantify insulin sensitivity, the calculations for HEC must factor in body weight. There are several ways to do this, either using total body weight in kilograms, body surface area in meters squared, or fat-free mass. The calculation is obtained per minute of the glucose insulin infusion. The present study used total body weight, so the data is expressed as milligrams of glucose metabolism per kilogram of body weight by minutes of infusion, or mg, open brackets, kilograms by minutes, close brackets. So what exactly is the reference range when the data is expressed as milligrams per kilogram by minutes of infusion? Previous research suggests that a measure of less than 4.9 indicates insulin resistance. In the present study, the M value decreased to 3.6 during melatonin supplementation compared to 4.1 during placebo. Thus, in the participants already with type 2 diabetes in the present study, although the 12% change is modest, it indicates a worsening of insulin sensitivity from melatonin supplementation. Interesting finding. There was no correlation between the decreases in insulin sensitivity and measured levels of plasma melatonin. Based on previous research, we could expect an interaction, i.e., elevated plasma melatonin levels would correlate with decreased insulin sensitivity. For example, Eckel and colleagues examined the effects of 5 hours sleep, delaying bedtime by 2 hours and waking 2 hours earlier than habitual, on intravenous and oral glucose tolerance tests administered 1 hour after waking. Plasma endogenous melatonin levels remained elevated for a number of hours, reflecting wakefulness during the biological night, and impaired insulin sensitivity was inversely correlated with melatonin levels, such that the longer melatonin remained elevated after waking in the short sleep condition, the more insulin sensitivity was impaired. What might explain the lack of correlation between plasma melatonin and insulin in the present study? The authors do note that it may be due to the small sample size. However, there is another potential explanation. Recall that the circadian rhythm in melatonin falls during the day and rises during the night. However, the precise timing of this rhythm may differ. This is known as the phase and reflects the alignment of the melatonin rhythm with clock time, i.e. 24-hour time. We know from the methods section that the testing was conducted in the morning from 8:30 a.m. onwards, and plasma melatonin levels were significantly higher after supplementation. In fact, melatonin levels were similar to the levels in the study by Eckel and colleagues. However, the study by Eckel and colleagues included a full assessment of the melatonin phase, and the correlations with reduced insulin sensitivity were observed for each hour after waking that melatonin was elevated above daytime levels. Further, the Eckel and colleagues study included sleep restriction, which itself deteriorates insulin sensitivity, and it may be that both sleep curtailment and elevated melatonin interact to more negatively impact glucose tolerance. Relevance. There is still a long way to go until we have a more comprehensive understanding of the role of melatonin in metabolic health. Circadian studies of diet are difficult and expensive to conduct. For example, in order to fully measure melatonin circadian phase, hourly blood samples are required over a 10 to 12 hour period in controlled light conditions. This ideally needs a laboratory setting, which in turn tends to mean small sample sizes. Nevertheless, the potential interaction between diet and melatonin does warrant more research. For example, several recent cross-sectional studies have indicated a relationship between the timing of the nocturnal rise in melatonin, known as melatonin onset, as an approximate start of the biological night, and adiposity. In one study, participants with a midpoint of energy intake, defined as the clock time at which 50% of total daily energy was reached, in close proximity to melatonin onset, were associated with significantly higher body fat percentage. The same group also reported that compared to lean participants, participants with higher body fat percentage consumed a greater proportion of total daily energy at a later melatonin phase. Importantly, both studies found no associations between temporal distribution of energy and adiposity when analyzed only in relation to 24-hour clock time, and these relationships were only evident when analyzed in relation to circadian phase, i.e., in relation to evening melatonin onset. It may also be that whether melatonin is measured in the evening or morning may be a factor. A recent intervention tested the effects of oral glucose tolerance tests consumed in the evening either 4 hours or 1 hour before bedtime in 845 participants with and without the melatonin receptor 1B gene. They found that the later glucose tolerance test resulted in impaired insulin sensitivity, which was worse in carriers of the melatonin receptor genotype. The fact that the present study did not detect an effective genotype is likely due to its small sample size and potentially the fact that melatonin was assessed in the biological morning. It should also be noted that in the present study, the decrease in insulin sensitivity occurred independent of factors influencing glucose uptake into cells, so the mechanistic understanding of the effects of melatonin on insulin sensitivity needs to develop. Finally, it is important to distinguish between the effects of the melatonin supplement observed over 12 weeks, as this was exogenous melatonin consumed chronically, whereas the lack of correlation with insulin resistance was based on measured endogenous melatonin levels after acute 2-hour tests following the treatment periods. Currently, interventions have shown decreased insulin sensitivity correlated with endogenous plasma melatonin and the effects of exogenous supplemental melatonin. Application to practice. The supplemental dose used in the present study was 10 milligrams per day. This is very high considering that the minimum effective dose for supplemental melatonin is 0.5 milligrams. However, given the popularity of the use of melatonin as a sleep supplement, there is a word of potential caution that has emerged from this line of research. Do not go overboard if melatonin is available in your jurisdiction. We have an evidence base developing that suggests eating later into the night and in close proximity to sleep has deleterious effects on metabolic health. What role melatonin plays in this picture remains to be fully determined. Nevertheless, supplemental exogenous melatonin is not the only consideration here. Endogenously produced melatonin also appears to be playing a role. It is prudent advice to avoid large intakes of energy later into the night.